Last section, we talked about how living a repentant life is an important marker of our spiritual health. And we saw that repentance is not just the entry point into the Christian life, but it's an ongoing reality for the mature believer. Disciples of Jesus Christ live repentant lives. Since it's God's kindness that leads us to that repentance, the repentant life reflects a deep and an intimate knowledge with Him. If repentance is a foundation for a mature Christian life, healthy habits provide a support structure for a Christian life. We all learn the importance of healthy habits early on. If you've parented, which I know many of you have, you know how important structure is in the life of your very, very young child. You've worked to help your baby develop the rhythms of eating and sleeping and all of these things that help the baby's health and help the parents' sanity. Right? It's just a good, we just know this, that these rhythms and these habits are good for us. And you likely have habits that have helped you in life. Many of you tend to shower on a regular basis. You know, that's a good habit. Maybe you make regular contributions to a retirement fund as part of a habit. Maybe you and your wife have a regular date night. I was thinking about the fact that in a lot of ways, our society becoming so automated has maybe not helped us in the sense of developing habits. You know, I don't need to have a habit of giving to a retirement fund because it just happens in the behind the scenes. You know, all these things. But these are still good habits and disciplines. And today we're going to explore how healthy spiritual habits can help us and how they are markers of a disciple. Now, this is not going to be anything revolutionary, not going to be anything surprising or that you don't know, but I do think it's going to be a good reminder for us to think about as it fits into this topic. There's a book out called Atomic Habits, and the author defines habits as the small decisions you make and actions you perform every day. And the central theme of the book is that the habits that you embrace determine and form the kind of person that you will become. Now, I do think that that's an overstatement. I think that as a Christian man, you are far more than the sum of your habits. But habits do help form you, generally speaking. Right? A person who exercises regularly is generally healthier than a person who doesn't. Students who devote more time to study generally do better than students who ignore studying. Right? It's not a law of the universe that's going to be true, but it's generally true. And as we consider the marks of a disciple, we need to acknowledge that God wants every disciple to be growing in his faith. That's one of the things that God wants from disciples. So take a look at 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter ends this letter by stating this and giving it sort of as a command, when he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he gives a benediction. To him be the glory both now and in the day of eternity. Amen. And God, men, has given us some habits some tactics, some things that we can do that are designed to help us do this, that are designed to help us grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. And that's why we need these habits in our life. Now, I do want to also remind us that there is a danger in talking about habits in this way. It's sometimes easy for us to wrongly equate the habit with being a disciple, right? Oh, I've read my Bible today. I must be doing really great. I've checked off these things for the day, and so I'm doing exactly what I need to do. There is a danger in how we can potentially think about this. What's important is what the habit is doing in us, that we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of God. That's the important part of developing the habits. So Peter gives this command to grow in grace. Grace is, of course, something that we receive. It's something that God gives us. It's independent from anything that we have in ourselves. And spiritual habits are unlike any other habits in that the desired outcome isn't based on our own efforts, but it's the grace and mercy of God who's working in our hearts and in our lives as we pursue these things. For example, one of the habits that we're going to look at briefly is the habit of spending time in God's Word. You might have the habit of reading the Bible or a portion of the Bible every day. You also might have a habit of reading the newspaper every day. The newspaper might help you write more pithy social media posts and, you know, be more relevant and get more likes, but it's not a key to growing in grace, right? It's the same discipline, it's the same habit, the habit of reading, but reading the newspaper and reading the Bible have completely different outcomes and completely different goals. 30 minutes of reading God's Word has a completely different impact on your life than 30 minutes of reading the newspaper. So as we think about these habits, we just need to remember that with the Bible, for example, it's not your reading skills, it's not the discipline that it requires, it's not the fact that you're going to stay up a little later, it's not the fact that you're going to wake up a little earlier. Although those things are good things, those are, you know, those disciplines are good, but that's not what changes you. God in His grace changes you and transforms you through the power of His Word. And so I think it's just important that we keep all of that in mind. That said, there are these habits that we should have in our lives that God uses to accomplish this in us, to accomplish this growth in the grace and knowledge of God. He accomplishes that through some specific things that we can do as part of that process. So discipleship is governed by grace. It's all tied to God's grace, but it does require our effort. We don't just coast into discipleship. We don't just suddenly, you know, find ourselves there. It does require some effort on our part. The goal is that we're growing. So the goal is not that we're feeling proud. The goal is not that, you know, I've been able to check my list for the day. The goal is not that I want to avoid feeling guilty because I didn't read the Bible. That's not the goal. The goal is this growth that Peter is talking about. The early church developed very, 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 very early on, they developed some habits that are going to kind of form the outline of what we're going to look at today. Acts 2:42. You know this passage. We have an adult Bible fellowship here named 242 after this verse. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. As the church was expanding, the church was growing. 3,000 people had just gotten saved prior to this. They were establishing the rhythm of their life and what it meant to live as Christians. And Luke tells us that there were some spiritual habits that they devoted themselves to. There were some things that they very, very quickly became committed to, devoted themselves to doing these things. They took time to be in God's Word under the apostles' teaching. They took the time to be praying. They took the time to enjoy fellowship and the involvement of their local church. Now, there's books, and in years past, we here in Quest have even done more expansive studies on some of these spiritual disciplines, fasting, other things, but we're just going to look at three. Beginning with this one, number one, a disciple of Jesus regularly hears from God through the Bible, through His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. All efforts to grow in grace begins with hearing God's voice through the Scriptures. We hear God's voice when we read the Bible. That's how we hear from Him. The Bible is profitable for us because it faithfully communicates what God wants us to know. We don't go looking for other words. We don't go looking for other sources to find out what it is that God wants to communicate to us. We go to His Word. Now, that doesn't mean that God never tries to get our attention or communicate with us in other ways. However, the only way that we can know for sure that God is speaking to us is through His Word. That's how He chose to communicate. He chose to communicate to us in a book. So if we want to be men who are growing in the grace and in the knowledge of God, we have to know Him. And He's revealed Himself to us in this book that we have. You guys have had times in your life when you've spent time in God's Word regularly, and you've probably had times in your life when it was a neglected discipline. And so I hope this morning, one of the things that we can renew a commitment to is some time in God's Word, that we develop Bible reading as a habit. That you'd find a place in your life where you can go off and be alone and have some time when you're reading God's Word. Maybe you're just opening the Bible and you're reading through it. Maybe you follow the Bible reading plan that the church publishes every year. You know, lots of different ways that there's no right or wrong way, right? There's no right or wrong amount that you should read. There's no right or wrong place to start. But I think the key is developing it as a habit and being systematic and methodical and regular in the way that you spend time in God's Word. And I don't want to rehearse this too much because it was the topic of our entire last study together, but we also need to make sure that we're spending time to study God's Word, right? There's portions of God's Word that require that we dive a little deeper into it. And that's why Howard Hendricks' study that we completed recently was so helpful to us, helping us learn how to carefully read God's Word, how to carefully study what it says, how to open the Bible and be able to understand its meaning and its relevance for us. And then, of course, a critical step in all of this is applying what we've read. Skeptics read the Bible. They read the Bible with the goal of trying to debunk it, trying to find inconsistencies, trying to find areas where it might be wrong. Curious but unsaved people read the Bible thinking, you know, maybe I'll find some sort of meaning or Maybe it will fill a void that I feel in my life. Maybe I'm searching for truth. But a disciple reads the Bible and asks different sorts of questions, right? We're asking questions like, what needs to change in my thinking or in my actions as a result of what I just encountered in God's Word? What needs to change in the way that I think about God? Or how can I better worship God based on what I've just discovered about Him in His Word? He's spoken to us through the Bible, and so reading the Bible should change our lives. It's a foundational, structural habit that's part of growing as disciples. And anytime we read Scripture, we need to always consider how God might want us to change or what He might want us to do. How can I grow as a disciple based on what I just read or what I just studied? So a mark of the disciple is that he's developed the habit of hearing from God in the Word, and he's intentional about applying the Word to his life. Next is a disciple of Jesus regularly speaks to God in prayer. What do you believe happens when you pray? I think some people pray because they're looking for a feeling in themselves. I'm scared, and so I'm gonna try to feel better by praying. I'm not saying that prayer doesn't accomplish that. But the God who speaks to us in His Word is also a God who listens to us as we pray. Prayer is simply speaking to God. Prayer allows us to share our concerns and our needs with God. We have the opportunity to worship Him in accordance with His will. And the Bible tells us that our prayers are a means by which God accomplishes His will on this earth. He responds to prayers. He delights in hearing from us. And I think we would need to acknowledge that growing disciples have a vibrant and healthy prayer life. And I don't know about you, but of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the one that comes the hardest for me. And there may be others that are the hardest for you, but for me, it's the hardest to be faithful and consistent at. Some quick tips for engaging God's ear in prayer. It might help you, or it might help someone that you're trying to disciple, to have a scheduled time to pray. Especially if you're like me and you struggle with that discipline. But routines and habits can be the friend of a Christian, right? So if there's just a regular time, and I don't mean before a meal but a regular time when you can have a quiet opportunity to be engaged in prayer. If you've scheduled a time to pray, that's not something that you need to feel bad about. Oh man, shouldn't my prayer just be spontaneous? Well, yeah, prayer can be spontaneous, but there's nothing wrong with having set times for prayer. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that if it's not spontaneous, it's not legitimate. So this can help us set aside some time. It's also, I think, a great idea to utilize prayers from Scripture when possible. Right? God's Word is filled with prayers. When teaching His disciples to pray, Jesus said, pray like this. And then He went on and gave a model or an example of how He thought disciples should pray. Paul frequently prayed. And the prayers that he prayed for the churches he served are wonderful prayers for you to be praying about yourself or praying about the people who are in your life, praying those kinds of prayers. The Psalms are filled with prayers. So when we do that, we can actually pray inspired prayers. Finally, it's very important that we pray to God about God. Right? This isn't, prayer is not just a list of requests and needs, and God's the cosmic genie who's going to help me out of all of my problems. We do bring our requests to God in prayer, but most of the prayers in the Bible are about God. Take the time to worship God through prayer. Acknowledge His character, reflect on His goodness. For a growing disciple, there should be things about God that inspire your worship of Him. Right? If you're growing, there should be things that are inspiring you about God. And those can form prayers. A mark of a disciple is that he's developed the habit of hearing from God in the Word. A mark of a disciple is that he regularly has God's ear and communicates with God in prayer. And then lastly, a disciple of Jesus regularly enjoys fellowship with God's body. Look at Acts 2:42 again. They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Paul writes that these early believers, they were devoted to fellowship. In other words, they were together. They were involved in each other's lives. The breaking of bread, they were enjoying food together. And as the book of Acts continues and the church is expanding and growing and reaching into new communities, this devotion continued to be carried out as the apostles established new churches everywhere they went. This same pattern continued. The entire New Testament is written to churches. And I think in our modern culture, we've lost some of this devotion. You're not going to open your Bible and find very many verses that command you to become a member of a church. But the reason for that is that it wasn't necessary, because everyone was. Right? If you were hearing God's word, then you were hearing it being read in your congregation, because these were letters that were written and read. And not everybody had a copy of the Bible. But every letter in the New Testament assumes that Christians are part of a local church. If you have Acts open, you can jump over to Acts 20:28. Paul was speaking to a group of elders, and he said this: "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood." A local church is a gathering of God's people who are established under elders with a common belief and a common mission. But I want you to notice how the church was established, right? The church was established with His own blood. As Christians who are growing as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should love what Jesus loves. He loves the church with all of its faults, with all of its failures, with all of its hypocrites, with all of its sin, with all of its everything. He loves the church. And so I think, I think you would agree, I hope you would agree, that to be hostile or ambivalent to the church is to disregard what Jesus loves and died for. I'm not sure that that's a position we want to find ourselves in. We need to be committed to a local church. And I just think it should just be a given that being a Christian and being a disciple means being part of a local church. It doesn't feel like a given, but it should be a given, because that's how God designed us to live. And I think that commitment goes beyond just attending to actually being a member. If you're like me, you listen to a couple, maybe several sermon podcasts each week. In addition to Stephen, I listen to a few other podcasts. That's not the same as fellowshipping with a church and being part of a church. I can benefit from hearing from a podcast, but that's consuming digital content is not the same as being part of a local church. The church in the Bible is referred to with terms like body and family. Everything about it is meant to be connected and interconnected. I think it's important that we be closely aligned with the church, and I also think it's important that we be involved in serving the church, that you're involved in serving somehow. Every one of us, every disciple of Jesus Christ has been given a gift. And according to the New Testament, that gift doesn't belong to you. Those gifts of the Spirit belong to the church. They're to be used in the context of the church. And so we have that obligation. I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but if you were not here when our church ratified a new doctrinal statement and a new set of bylaws, I really want to recommend that you go to the archives, go to Stephen's archives, which are housed at wisdomonline.org, and look for the series, listen to the series, Upon This Rock. Just prior to rolling out the new doctrinal statement, Stephen preached an entire series on the church and what it means to be part of the local church. And it was a great and powerful series. So I can't do this topic justice, but that series is just a fantastic series. You'll find it at wisdomonline.org. If you go to the topical archives, you'll find it under the category of church. I highly recommend it. All right, we need to get into our groups, but listen, these are just some healthy habits that are the mark of a disciple that should be evident in every disciple. A mature disciple has the habit of being in God's Word and hearing from God through His Word. A mature disciple has the habit of praying, and a mature disciple is committed and has the habit of being involved and active in his local church. As we do these things, we are engaging with God's voice, we're engaging with God's ears, we're engaging with God's body. And that's part of what it means to be a fully mature disciple.